flows like water. It wears away the hardest stone.
Old and in the Way Sisters. Laugh and learn with me, Janet.
And me, Nancy. The Bitchin' Sisters.
We're growing old in a new world with skyrocketing costs, crazy fashions, changing norms, and with limited time back.
Don't say that. Yes. We'll entertain you and inform you as long as we can.
You're sounding desperate.
Let's look back at how it was and ahead to what's coming.
My grandson, Elliot, wrote an essay for his senior college class on the meaning of life. I was interested in knowing the point of view of a 21-year-old compared to me, born in definitely a different era.
The meaning of life.
Okay. Yeah. So I asked him to send me a copy, and he did. In part, it read, quote, "Before I dove into the coursework, I understood the meaning of life not as a goal to reach, but rather as a lifestyle," unquote. In other words, living out one's life according to your values. My grandson added, quote, "If your behavior doesn't match your values, something's wrong. You may be lost and searching for who you are," unquote. Okay, so how does a young person find out what their values are? In my mind, you figure out who you are through your experiences, and you make decisions about how you react to to something, or how you behave according to what you feel is right for you. And the more the more often you react the same way or think the same way, that becomes your value system. For instance, when you go to parties and you look around and see what everyone is doing, whether it's drinking, drugs, ruining the house, conversing, dancing, standing around, you make a choice of what behavior you want to engage in. And that decision frames your values. I remember, you probably don't know this about me, I remember being around a lot of drugs.
I don't know a lot about you. I'm learning through these podcasts.
Yeah, me too. I remember being around a lot of drugs and making a decision that I didn't want to be with that crowd anymore. So I purposely sought out a new set of women friends who were like-minded and very engaged in life. And I started to be the kind of person that meshed with my values. Another example from my young life was when I lived in Maine. I don't know if you know about this about me either. The woman I hung out with, well, we all swore a lot. We also never shaved. Mm-hmm. We never wore a bra. Was that like you?
I don't remember that period.
Oh, really?
No, I always wore a bra. I've got a bra on right now. Readers, I've got a bra on.
Doesn't look like it. No. Yeah. Just kidding.
Right.
Okay. And I noticed this, that when I moved to Wisconsin and engaged with a different crowd, that they all wore bras, they shaved. And I thought, okay, I'm going to stop using profanity and I'm going to start to shave and wear a bra. And this choice made me more feminine. And it became a value of mine that started to match my behavior.
It's funny that you put the shaving and the swearing together, but go on.
On the other hand, I also was a vegetarian, I was a Jehovah's Witness, and a married woman.
Or a Jerusalem artichoke, as your husband at the time called you.
And then I discovered my husband wasn't faithful, I had cancer, and my religion had rejected my lifestyle. I had thought that eating a vegetarian diet would keep me healthy, so all of a sudden I didn't know what to eat anymore. I no longer turned to God because I had no steady support system. And without a faithful husband, I felt the entire last 7 years were for naught, except for our son's birth. In other words, my world turned completely upside down. I didn't know what I stood for, what my values were. And I recall quite clearly that every single decision I had to make, whether it was minuscule about what I wanted to eat or big, like, what do I do now? It was so hard for me to make because I no longer knew who I was anymore. In other words, my value system had become reduced to nothing. When anyone asked me a question, I had to take a while to stop and think about what I truly wanted my answer to be.
What? A person stops to think about it?
You stop and think about what are you thinking? What are you going to say? Because you don't know what you believe anymore.
Okay, so.
And I had to reconstruct who I was at 27 years old. Slowly, I became a person whose answers reflected my behavior. And once again, I was building a value system based on my behaviors. My life had meaning again. Well, in Eliot's essay, he also urged one to, quote, leave a positive legacy, unquote, as that takes you beyond yourself and instills a sense of purpose into the meaning of life. He pointed to his mom's father, his maternal grandfather, as someone who used his life to leave a lasting legacy. And his grandfather, Craig, he believed in experiences just like you do over gifts, Janet, with his grandchildren. Like he met up with them at the Iola car show every summer. He took everybody out on a train ride out west together. Hmm. And he spent part of the Christmas week together in a rental house on a lake. He also helped them to learn skills that would aid them in life, just like you do, especially with cars, which he had several antique vintage ones in his storage shed. Perhaps that's why Eliot has been busy taking his engine out of his car and rebuilding it. What a positive legacy his grandpa has left. And I wholeheartedly agree with him. To put it in my own words, I always say, find the gift God gave you and use it to help humanity. Like, let's take Oppenheimer. We know about him from the movies these days. He had a God-given gift for math, and he used it to make the atomic bomb, but you know, he thought he was doing something good, and it was society that used it in a horrible way. And then he spent the rest of his life trying to ensure it was not used to destroy the planet. Then there's my favorite, Maria Montessori, the first female doctor of Italy. She had a gift for seeing how people learn through their senses and developed the type of education that's been going on for over 200 years now. It's based on the concept of using your senses. They have sensorial materials. And out of that method came thousands of Montessori schools worldwide and a plethora of children who love learning, including the inventors of Amazon and Google. And the founding fathers The founding fathers of our democracy, too, had a gift of words and ideas, and they used their gift to draw up the Constitution of the United States. They brought about a new society, one which, if followed, would ensure political freedom for its inhabitants, if followed. One more. The enduring legacy of Rachel Carson, you know her, the pioneering environmentalist and the author of the groundbreaking book, Silent Spring. Her courageous work ignited a global environmental movement, inspired generations of eco-activists, and led to significant policy changes that continue to shape our world. But on the opposite side of the coin, many people have found their God-given gift and used it to hurt society, like Hitler. His God-given gift was speaking. He had a great gift for speaking, but look what happened. Everybody started to believe in him. And then there's, maybe you haven't heard of him, Nathan Bedford Forrest. Mm. Have you heard of him?
No.
He's a former Confederate cavalry general and slave trader, born in 1821, and he served as the KKK's first Grand Wizard.
Ooh, I didn't know that.
Or leader-in-chief. His God-given gift was bringing people who thought alike together. And out of that came a group that, in its heyday, numbered well over a million, the Ku Klux Klan. Mm-hmm. They went on to execute blacks just because of their color. And then my own lasting legacy, Eliot, if you're listening, your grandmother's lasting legacy. It wasn't until I read a book that I've mentioned many times Janet gave me, called Maria Montessori, Her Life and Work by E.M. Standing, and a fire was ignited in me. In fact, I graduated with a degree in English education, but I knew from my internship I didn't want to be a public school educator. I wanted to teach Montessori. So out of that aha moment, I became a Montessori teacher, and I started my own private Montessori school in Maine, and this expanded into teaching Montessori courses at several universities, writing Montessori-related articles for newspapers and magazines, mentoring future Montessori teachers, and eventually starting two state Montessori associations and five charter Montessori schools. Wow. So I've ultimately played out my definition of the meaning of life, to pay attention to the decisions you make during life's experiences and making sure they match your values, or changing them so they do, and to discover your God-given gift and to use it to bring about a better society. I don't care if I'm recognized by others for it or not. I feel I've accomplished what I've been brought here to the planet for. Hmm. And in my old age, I drive past our local Montessori Charter School now that I started 24 years ago, and I see the children on the playground enjoying the fruits of my labor. It's now up to those who inherit the experiment to keep it going, just like those who wrote the Constitution with our democracy, just like those who are trusted with nuclear powers inherited from Oppenheimer, and just like Carson's cautions about protecting the environment and Montessori's invitation to educate children according to human tendencies. It's up to each of us to create a meaningful life based on our values. That is the meaning of life. Thank you, Elliot.
Thank you, Elliot.
We come to you twice a month with new episodes. Some are funny, some are serious, some are just our crazy opinions. I hope you enjoyed our show.
Me too. It's been a pleasure.
Music by Hall and Sidnor.
It wears away the hardest stone. It winds its way down to the shore and bears the weary traveler home. Let your love wash down on me. Let your love wash down. Life springs from water. Overflowing well, enticing every seed to grow, and coursing strong through every cell. Let your love wash down all. And flowers grow.